It's 9:15 here on The Morning Show on 702 ABC Sydney. Time now to take a look at the world of business and finance. And to do that, I've been joined by Stephen Main, shareholder, activist and founder of Crikey.com. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Tony.
Do you drink coffee?
I'm a 2 or 3 coffees a day man, and I will not go near instant.
What's wrong with instant?
I don't know. I guess it just doesn't taste as good. I'm a drink out coffee guy. So this morning I'm struggling. I'm sitting right next to the ABC cafe down here in Melbourne, and I haven't had time to go in. So I've really got the shakes and I really need my fix.
You can go in if you like. Go in and order while we're talking. That's okay.
All right. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Thanks for that, Tony.
There are some continuing problems in the US, I believe, Stephen.
Yeah, look, I don't think we've seen a full-scale banking crisis quite like this before, but I think it's fair to say that the US is in financial crisis at the moment, and the government having to come in at 4 o'clock on a Sunday and promise an unlimited bailout of the two institutions which cover half the home loans of America. This is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the two sort of government-associated mortgage insurers that have $6 trillion of home loans. So these things have just collapsed. The share prices are down 70-80% this year, and the Treasury's written a blank cheque. And we're at the same time seeing various regional banks in America fall over. So last night, a huge bank called Washington Mutual, their shares fell 35% last night. And on Friday, we had a big regional bank, IndyMac Bancorp, which collapsed. And it's an $8 billion bailout, the third biggest bailout in banking bailout in U.S. history. So it is just an absolutely extraordinary situation. The U.S. is in financial crisis, and that explains why the Aussie dollar hit a record 25-year high overnight of 97.25 cents, because literally the reputation and the credit of the US is under unprecedented pressure and a collapse of confidence at the moment.
What does that mean for, A, Australian mortgage holders and Australians who don't have a mortgage? They've retired, they've put their money into the share market, and that's what they're living off.
Well, I guess that's where you get the whole global implosion. It started off as a problem in US homes, where a couple of million Americans who shouldn't have got loans did, and it has now become a full-blown global credit crisis. So we've just seen, I think, Alliance and Leicester, one of the big UK banks, just bought up by the Spanish bank Santander for a couple of $1 billion, like an absolute song. So
high steal.
A steal, that's
billion.
Right. I mean, this would have been worth more than $20 billion a couple of years ago. So we've seen Northern Rock obviously collapse in the UK, you know, $100 billion bailout there. So I think what it means for Australian, well, those who are invested in the share market, obviously you know, Australian share market's now down 30% from the peak last November. So there's a global sort of, not crisis, but there's obviously a significant reduction in asset values that people have got too much debt, particularly the US and Australia to a lesser degree has got too much debt, and asset prices are falling. It started off with US housing, and now we're seeing, you know, Australian commercial property. A lot of the Australian property trusts, their share prices are crashing. We've seen the biggest and the first property trust, GPT, crash by 40% in a week over the last week, and they own more prestigious office towers in Sydney than anyone else. So it is quite a unique situation, and for home borrowers in Australia, I mean, there's $850 billion of home loans in Australia. It's obviously getting more expensive, and we've seen all the banks bar Westpac put up their rates by between 14 basis points and 20 basis points over the last few days, and they're all blaming the cost of funds. So they're all saying it right around the world, it is now more expensive to borrow money, and that's because everyone's so panicked about the US financial crisis that everyone's charging more for debt. And that's where Australia's got a bit of a problem, because we do owe the rest of the world $600 billion. There is $1 trillion of household debt in Australia. We are borrowing with a huge current account deficit, and we've got $850 billion of mortgages. So if we have to pay more offshore for our home loans, which a lot of us are doing, then obviously we're seeing the interest rates in Australia for home loans are rising quite significantly.
Stephen, I know you can only speculate, and everyone keeps doing this, it seems, every day, but is it going to get worse still? There has been speculation that the worst of it has passed.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's a fundamental problem at the very core here, and that is a U.S. government debt. That the U.S. for 40 years have run a deficit, a budget deficit of average of more than 2% of GDP. So, I mean, their overall debt, their overall official government debt is now $9 trillion. It was only $5 trillion back in the days of Bill Clinton, and it's rising at more than $600 billion a year. So things like the Iraq War and crazy tax cuts and just irresponsible financial management has seen U.S. public debt, government debt, rise to $9 trillion. Now you have the prospect of having to add $5 trillion to that if we get this bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which would lift the overall U.S. public debt to $14 trillion. So I think that the big question here is, can the U.S. hang on to its AAA credit rating? And personally, I'm amazed that they haven't lost it so far. And I think that, you know, Moody's and Standard & Poor's, the American rating agencies, how they can justify not having downgraded the U.S. government's AAA credit rating, I find quite surprising, because the markets are passing judgment on U.S. financial stability by selling off the U.S. dollar dramatically. That's why we're at 97.25 cents, because the markets are saying U.S.'s financial system is unsustainable, banking system is crashing, government's just bailed out, effectively, $5 trillion of home loans. This lifts overall government debt in the U.S. to $14 trillion, and how can anyone say this thing's AAA? So I think that's where it's going to go, is U.S. credit rating at some point is going to have to be treated more realistically.
So maybe we should be drinking more instant coffee at home and stop buying those lattes, because we might need those few extra pennies. And I don't want to trivialise it, but who calls a bank Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
I don't know. It is just bizarre. I can't explain it. But, you know, the short form is, you know, Fannie and Freddie guarantee half the mortgages. And even over the last year, they've been writing 70% of the mortgages. So just as in Australia, we've seen the likes of Rams and Wizard and a lot of the non-bank mortgage writers under pressure. In the US, the same thing has happened. And so everyone has run off to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And suddenly they're seemingly insolvent. So it would be the equivalent of our big four banks having to be bailed out all at the same time. If that happened in Australia, can you imagine?
Which would be suddenly terrifying.
That's right. The Reserve Bank suddenly says, this is what effectively has happened. The Reserve Bank would have to say, in conjunction with Wayne Swan and the Treasury, that we're seeking from Parliament unlimited funds to buy shares in our big banks and to lend them unlimited billions, and people are speculating it's $300 billion. So that's what's actually just happened in the US. And can you imagine what the feeling would be in Australia if, as a nation, we said that? And people, we would be a joke globally, and there's no way we would have a AAA credit rating. So that's where the way the Americans can get away with having a teetering financial system, because they're so big, that's where it's a really interesting question as to how it plays out.
Richard Branson, he's back in charge at Virgin Blue.
Richard Branson, the British billionaire, he's played Virgin Blue just brilliantly over the years. He initially put in $10 million 8 years ago to take on Qantas and Ansett. Ansett collapsed, so suddenly he made almost $1 billion in profit. He floated his shares at $2.25, which was a very high price, and then allowed other companies, first Patrick and then Toll, to come in and take control. And as of yesterday, Toll Holdings, the big transport company, has said, we don't want to be in Virgin Blue, we don't like airlines, we're getting rid of our 62% stake and we're distributing it to our shareholders. So all of a sudden that means that Richard Branson, who's still sitting there with his 25% stake, is now the biggest shareholder and is back in charge of Virgin Blue, which is somewhere where he likes to be. So and transport, the airline game is a pretty volatile place to be at the moment with the rocketing oil prices. It's interesting that Branson has chosen not to buy Toll Holdings' stake in Virgin Blue. So he said, I'm happy to sit here with 25%, but I'm not putting another dollar into this thing. Airlines around the world are struggling. My other airlines are struggling. But I will happily sit here and control the thing with 25%, and poor old Toll Holdings has to take an accounting loss of $1.3 billion, which will send it to a big loss for the year, which is a pretty embarrassing thing to have to do.
He's good at making money, Richard Branson, isn't he? He's very good at making money.
He's played the airline business very well. Particularly, Virgin Blue is one of his best ever plays. I mean, he's more than half a billion in front on Virgin Blue, so he loves Australia, and he still controls the thing, even though he's taken most of his money off the table. So a lot smarter than, you know, the Kiwis who bought Ansett and lost a billion. Branson's been the smartest airline player in Australia in history.
It's 25 past nine. You're with Mornings on 702 ABC Sydney. I'm talking with Stephen Mayne, shareholder activist and founder of Crikey.com, about the world of business and finance. Stephen, a bit of a bun fight at AWB?
Yeah, look, you'd think that after slipping Saddam Hussein $300 million and the federal parliament, 90% of the politicians in the federal parliament passing laws which abolished the single desk for wheat exports, you'd think that AWB, the company in question, would probably get with the program. But it is interesting. They are proposing at the moment, the AWB board is proposing to have a second crack at constitutional reform, which would remove the guarantee that farmers have 7 of the 11 directors and the guarantee that the farmers, a wheat farmer, has to be the chairman of AWB and the absolute prohibition of anyone ever being able to take over the AWB. So a majority of the directors have put up a proposal for AWB to become a normal company, which can be taken over and which doesn't guarantee a certain vested interest group, i.e. farmers, board control. But 4 of the farmers are having one last fight, and they're opposing this. So on August 21, we're going to see a major proxy battle at a special shareholders meeting where the board is split. 8 of the directors are saying, let's get with the program and get real. And 4 of the farmers are saying, no, we're against it. And they need to get 75% of the farmer shareholders to approve this. And I think history shows that there aren't very many people who voluntarily vote themselves out of power. So whether the farmer shareholders can bring themselves to give up control of the AWB will be a very interesting test. And we don't see too many of these big proxy fights for control of boardrooms in Australia. And AWB will be a very interesting battle over the coming few weeks.
So we'll see more of that next month. And I know we've only got you for another 2 minutes and you have to dash and get your coffee. Just finally, property still crashing.
Yeah, well, what happened? I mentioned earlier the shares in GPT, which is our biggest property trust. They announced a shock profit warning last week where they suddenly said we're going to make $170 million less in 2008 than we said. And the share price fell from $2.26 to $1.60 in the 3 or 4 days after that happened. But it's still falling even more. Yesterday, GPT shares fell 7 cents to $1.49. So there is quite a fundamental crisis of confidence in property trusts in Australia. We're seeing the likes of Mirvac and Stockland all down 60-70% over the last year, and a lot of people are just sitting in cash. So super funds have now got 7% of all their funds sitting in cash, $170 billion in total. So there's a real sort of people sitting on the sidelines, and property is the sector in Australia which has probably been hit the hardest, and obviously it was Centro close to collapse, and the biggest office owner in Sydney shares down 40% a week. These are hairy times. The hair shirts are on, and hold on to your hats, Tony.
Hairy all round.
Pretty hairy and scary, I think you could say, about the financials at the moment. Yeah, it's amazing times.
Stephen, thank you very much for your time this morning. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Tony.
I'll let you go. I know you have to dash. Stephen Mayne there. He is, of course, the founder of Crikey.com and a shareholder activist, and he joins Deborah every week to talk about the world of business and finance.